Roni's Own Media and Roni'sOwn.com proudly present the Once Upon a Time fan podcast special episode. Your hosts are Jeff and Colleen Roni from Orange County, California. And now, on with the show.
Hey, everybody. This is something new that we're going to try. So, my name is Jeff Roni.
Mm-hmm. And I'm Colleen Roni. What is this again?
Once Upon a Time fan podcast, First Thoughts, Episode 1, which is about Desperate Souls.
Yes. Excellent.
So, this is the key, is we watched the episode and we haven't freeze-framed anything or went back or whatever. So we've jotted down our notes, and my goal is not to do a recap, but my goal is to really kind of focus on things that really stood out, interesting lines, interesting things that we saw. So that's mm-hmm. really the goal.
Yeah, just first impressions.
Right. So, but I took a lot of notes, so we'll
I didn't
see.
Take nearly as many as you did, because yeah. I really wanted to focus on the actual episode itself.
So the new intro is great, and it focuses on obviously the next half of the season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's the goal with that.
And we're assuming that's going to be the intro they're going to use from this point forward, or maybe it was special for tonight since tonight was kind of coming back from the break. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
So we don't know, but so, whatever it was really good.
Yep. So we saw another spinning wheel. We've seen that before.
Right.
And actually there was a spinning wheel in Lost as well. So anyway, we're seeing it again and again and again.
Well, that's because it ties in with Rumpelstiltskin.
Right.
Because he was able to spin straw into gold. Mm-hmm. And he would do that on a spinning wheel.
You're right. Now, the Ogre Wars, I don't know what that has to do with anything.
No, and we don't know where this is in the timeline of anything. But clearly, it's before most all of the other things have happened. So this right. is probably one of the earliest things ever.
Hmm.
I mean, this could be the genesis right here of the whole entire thing.
Yeah, true.
Because does Snow White even exist yet?
I do not know. It's a good question. I will put that to our fabulous listeners.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. Because Rumpelstiltskin's been in everybody else's backstory, but this is his.
Right.
So this is really early.
So the first scene I saw with this Dark One, and it was interesting. It looked very much to me like a Jedi, you know, with this force power push mm-hmm. and holding people and choking people and mm-hmm. pushing people down and mm-hmm. all that. So mm-hmm. anyway, just want to bring that out.
Yeah, yeah.
Robert Carlyle is awesome.
Oh, I don't think there are words to describe how amazing he is. I have to say, just first impression of this episode, I loved this. I don't have the words. Mm-hmm. I loved this episode. I thought it was so good on so many levels.
Okay. Absolutely true. Yes. The thing, one of the early things that stood out for me is Mr. Gold was wearing the apron and the gloves from The Heart is a Lonely Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like in Storybrooke, it was almost after that. And then Emma brought up something about she smelled something like game, wild game or something.
It was sheep something or other.
Right.
Yeah.
So anyway, but it was just, he was wearing the same getup. So
Yeah.
So, and Emma said to Mr. Gold, thanks for the kind words. And that kind of stood out to me. It's like, wow, he's actually saying something nice. So.
Yeah, yeah. No. Okay, let me back up a second. Were you saying that because he was wearing the apron and the gloves, you think it's right after Graham Simon?
Right.
No. Okay. Graham's been gone for 2 weeks.
But okay. But
No. Graham's been gone for 2 weeks. He even said that to her.
Fine. But, like, please don't email me. I made a mistake.
Okay. No, I don't.
What I'm saying is when he wears this getup, he's probably doing the same type of thing.
Now that I would agree with. Okay. He might be out digging in the forest.
So Jedi mind, forget what I said earlier, and now we'll focus on that. So it's whenever he's doing whatever he's doing,
yeah,
he's wearing the same get up. So perhaps right before he went out and dug up something and then brought it back and was doing something in the back.
Yeah, it's almost like his experimental there. Type things that he seems to be doing.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So the walkie-talkie, I mentioned it before, is probably going to be used in some type of thing where Henry is lost or somewhere. And anyway. So
it's possible. It's possible.
So good loses, good always plays fair, don't upset my mom, da-da-da-da. I think we talked about that before.
Yeah, I think he has, Henry tends to be more protective of her than, obviously, Regina. But, I mean, he freaks out anytime anything bad or even remotely close to bad happens because he's afraid it's going to impact her. The funny thing is, he doesn't care about just about anybody else in the town. It's really Emma that he's really just enamored of his mom, which is really cool. Can we kind of go back a little bit? Because the thing that struck me at the beginning was the age they were taking the kids was 14.
Okay.
And typically a child is considered, well, Jewish custom is when the child turned 13, that's when they became, 13 is a big age in the Jewish tradition, as far as I'm aware. I could be wrong, but I believe that's the case. That's usually when the bar and bat mitzvahs are happening. But I know in Latin cultures, it's typically 15. So I don't know what the significance is of 14, but it just struck me as kind of an unusual age because, 13, that's the first year of a teenager.
Right.
But what's 14? Okay. What's magical about 14? Just, I don't know, that struck
me. Right. And a lot of this stuff is, it's just things that kind of stand out for whatever reason. I think the goal of this type of episode is we want to kind of tell you what we saw, and then I think the juices will flow for the feedback and different things. So that's what this is. We'll sort it all out, and we'll talk about it all.
Well, yeah, I'm sure there's a lot more. Yeah, there's a lot more. There's so much more to dig into.
Yeah. The thing I noticed is the star keychain. Then there's the deputy star, and then there's the sheriff star. Mm-hmm. So there was all. Anyway, yeah. I just kind of.
And I think we kind of mentioned that before because the first time we saw her star keychain, she wished on a star and her cupcake. Right. So, star seems to be playing a big part in the fairy tales.
I chuckled a bit when Regina said, after due reflection, Sydney Glass. It's kind of funny.
Well, and then in his speech, he even mentioned, to reflect the blah, 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 rather. I thought that was kind of interesting. He used the word reflection, too, or reflect. Mm-hmm.
I think the one thing, I don't know if I mentioned it before, but that Regina was talking about, you think things are better? Graham is gone and all these different things. And sometimes when things get better, bad things have to happen.
Well, sure.
A change of course, getting rid of something. So anyway, I just kind of wanted to point that out. So let's see here. This is not going to make some people. McCutcheon whiskey, we saw it again. That was from Lost. just saying. It is, people. It is. I'm telling you.
It is.
So Emma mentions Regina's puppet in a sheriff, puppet. So, yeah.
You were going the Pinocchio route, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
And Mr. Gold is pulling all the strings, and we saw that throughout the whole episode. He's setting people up to do exactly what he knows they'll do, and he probably knows them better than they do, which
he anticipates based upon human nature. And it's funny because, when he took the power from the Dark One, when he asked why are you doing this to me? I can recognize a desperate soul. Hence the name of the title of this episode, where when he said the same thing to Emma, what I'm thinking is that that power that he got was his ability to kind of read people and know. Mm. And again, maybe it's the future, but he may just be able to read people better than they realize. Just a thought.
Yep. So benefactor. That was used twice.
A couple of times.
I remember, wasn't there a benefactor in Great Expectations? with Pip and
I don't know, because honestly, I didn't read Great Expectations growing up, so I really don't know.
Benefactor. But anyway, that's the only time I think I remember Benefactor.
Well, no, I thought I was in, wasn't it in Christmas Carol?
Okay.
I want to say that Scrooge became the benefactor for what's his face? You know, Tiny Tim's dad or whatever his... What was his dad? Oh, my gosh. Anyway, his clerk.
Yeah.
That guy.
Right. Yeah. I don't know either. Thanks.
It's late in the evening for... I know. It's been a long day. Okay. Sorry. Plus, I'm still over the moon over this episode. I really am. I don't want to... I mean, I know that we're just doing first impressions. I don't want to go too detailed.
Yeah, this show is not going to be perfect. I mean, if you...
Oh, my gosh. Not, yeah, no. But no,
just kind of rambling and reading off notes and so... Yeah.
See, that's the whole thing. I don't want to read off notes. That's why I want to just talk about what we see.
Well, okay. I can't remember.
You can read off notes. No, so many things in that episode. I mean, we found out how Henry was born, which was interesting. And what I also found interesting is that Emma said she was 18 when she had him. That's what she told Ashley. But then she said it was juvenile records, and 18 is technically an adult. So interestingly enough, I wonder if because she was 18, they still considered her a juvenile. And I do know for a fact that in some cases, 18-year-olds are, although they are adults technically, they are still considered juveniles. So that's not a huge stretch.
And I don't remember anything about a child being born in jail.
You mean like a story?
Right.
No.
Okay.
No, not that I can think of.
So the mayor is held to the town charter.
Yeah,
and I was thinking it was very similar to the people in the book of Henry's book. So it's that similar type of thing. It was easier for people to kind of buy in the fact that the mayor had to be held to the town charter, but then Henry pulls out this book and says, you're in this book and you're this and you're that. People go, ah, you're crazy. But the town charter, well, that's something. Anyway, it's just interesting. So,
well, it's funny because it's kind of like there, you know, it's like you've said before. I mean, in biblical, I mean, you know, Job especially, you know, Satan had a lot of freedom to do whatever he wanted to Job, but within the boundaries of no killing, no whatever. So, I mean, there's that fits in very nicely.
But yeah, definitely Rumpelstiltskin is afraid. You know, he keeps talking about hiding in the corner and all this.
Well, okay, look, you know, you want an honest to God truth of what my opinion was about the show from the beginning was I seriously felt huge compassion for Rumpelstiltskin.
Yeah. Well, you've been saying that for a while.
I have been.
Right.
Because you don't just get to be like that. There's just, that just doesn't seem, there are things that happen that make people feel the way they do. And I just had overwhelming compassion for him when he was just trying to protect his son. And I mean, it seriously almost made me cry when he was like so upset.
Yeah.
And the guard was trying to make him kiss his boot. I think that was humiliating. And it wasn't right. You know, and the way he was tormenting him and teasing him. I mean, look, we don't know what happened to cause him to limp. That was another big thing.
Right.
And the fact that the guard kept teasing him and mocking him. I mean, that was terrible. And I felt really bad for him. And I thought, see, he wasn't always bad. But see, again, is he still bad?
We'll get to the change that he went through toward the end. Then I was wondering about, we'll let the will of the people decide. And my concern was, do they all have hearts?
Oh, gosh.
Was there a true will of the people? Was, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I mean, that's the whole point is, that's the question. If they didn't have their hearts, then they wouldn't have voted for her at all. I don't think. I think Regina would have controlled it.
Well,
I don't think Regina controls them.
Unless Mr. Gold controlled them all somehow.
But he does I mean, he really does.
Okay. Mr. Gold actually had been kind of angling for Emma for a while, even back in the hospital when Ashley's child was born. He said, I want you on my side. So he had been kind of planning this whole thing.
He's
and then when he said, listen, two people with a common goal can are more powerful than one. So let's
work. Two people with a common goal can get a lot done.
Right.
Two people with a common enemy can accomplish even more.
Right.
And that's exactly what happened. I mean, look at it.
Right. Rumpelstiltskin said, they truly become dust. And I just thought that was interesting after the
Wow, I missed that last episode. Yeah, I missed that line.
So then we have this magical dagger, and the true name of the Dark One was on there. Mm-hmm. And so we find out there the name is Zoso.
Yeah.
And the minute I saw that, I said, that's Led Zeppelin 4. Zoso. And I looked it up, that's exactly what it is. And it's the moniker of the runes symbols that looks like it says Zoso.
Oh, interesting.
And then supposedly it's also a moniker that Jimmy Page used for himself.
Oh, interesting. Because
they were really into that whole kind of thing. And it was interesting, you know, in the blog I'd done some screen captures of Mr. Gold moving the windmill so that when David Nolan walked out that he would see it and then be enthralled and mesmerized by this. And it was interesting when Regina walked in, Mr. Gold said, do you want me to move a few things and make room for your rage? And I said, aha, you do move things around. No, I mean...
Well, he did because the windmill's not there anymore.
Right.
It's not in the front of the shop where it was before, so...
And Regina said that he picked a slow horse this time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering what other times...
Well,
did he try and...
Yeah, maybe he did. Maybe he did. We don't know.
Because then that would fall into my whole idea that people have been coming in at different times instead of all at once.
It's possible. Yeah, it's possible.
You know, and maybe he had something to do with Graham. Maybe Graham... I don't know. But anyway, just interesting she said that.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, no, I totally agree.
So, and there was a lot of knives in this. There was a dagger, which we talked about. And then Regina mentioned a shiv.
Well, yeah, because...
Yeah, Emma, yeah. And then I think Emma was using a knife on the toaster to kind of...
She was. It was a butter knife, but I mean, it was a knife, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, which is so dangerous and crazy, but yeah.
And Regina said that Rumpelstiltskin was a snake, Miss Swan.
Mm-hmm. See, this is what I don't get, okay? So is it me or... Okay, this is where I'm definitely going to watch it again before Thursday. But what I was trying to figure out is why did he turn gold? I didn't get that part because I don't remember seeing the Dark One being... The original Dark One, Zoso, being gold.
Well, okay. Let me step out on thin ice and a little here. I have done some study about weaponry.
Okay.
True. Now, some of them say that the dagger becomes one, or the sword becomes one with the wielder.
Okay.
And there's a connection.
Okay.
So maybe when he killed Zoso, that power, that whatever, went onto him, and it enveloped him, and that's what changed his, because it changed his color of his hand,
his whole body.
Right. So, but I'm just saying, as it kind of took over, and that power had a price, and it changed him. So it just, gave him that color.
Yeah.
So.
I got to say, there was something kind of, and dare I say it, with where somebody's going to go, are you crazy? There was something kind of a little bit sexy about him when he came back, and he was all like, he had that swagger and he had that just attitude. Now, the teeth were a little much. I couldn't handle that. But
right. But
there was something about that swagger that was like, hey, don't mess with him.
Well, and then the exchange between the beggar...
Mm-hmm.
And Rumpelstiltskin, he said, you can use powers to redeem yourself. I think he was, Rumpelstiltskin was telling his son, I can use the power to redeem myself.
Well, he even said at one point he would do use it for good. So.
Right. And so, and that kind of falls into what you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And David and Mary Margaret were on opposite sides.
They were indeed.
Stapling up things for the opposite Well, and that's because David's wife is...
Exactly. And that's the only
Maleficent.
Reason.
I mean, friend.
No, she's not Maleficent.
Okay. All right.
She's Abigail.
Yep.
Abigail's not Maleficent.
Okay. One more lost little tie-in here is the knife was meant to kill Locke and was given to Saeed. And it was the same type of thing of when Rumpelstiltskin took the knife, it was going to kill him. And when he stabbed him and he didn't die, I went, aha, it's the same. But what happened is it looked like to me that the power went onto Rumpelstiltskin. So it's not that he died, but it's just that the powerful part of...
You know, he did die.
Okay.
He did die eventually, right. But not at first.
Right.
But what was interesting is that he had a very different... He had a different form. It was not the same... I don't remember. Right. It looked like it was a different face.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it was slightly different voice.
Right.
So, and what it was interesting is that that ties in with the whole shapeshifter.
Mm-hmm.
The ability to... look like something or someone else.
Yep.
Just wanted to throw that in there.
So it was interesting that Mr. Gold wore a blue tie when he went to the debate.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And he was like, he was trying to fit in more because blue to me is the color of Storybrooke.
Yeah.
And red is more of either evil or of the fairy tale land evil.
Mm, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them looked like they were Lord of the Rings. I'm telling you, with a little carrying around a little lantern.
Well, but again, remember, this is considerably earlier in the story. This has to be. I mean, if you want to talk about a timeline, this is,
right.
Like I said, I think this is the earliest we're going to go. We may go even earlier than this, but I have a feeling this is like, this will be the, you know, the delta, the beginning point of what we're, of the whole thing.
Yep.
Just my thought.
Well, and I guess the shots of the valley on fire and all that. I mean, yeah, there was a lot of, I think, tip of the hat to Lord of the Rings. People are going to say, well, it's not a fairy tale. What are you saying? I'm just saying that's what it looked like to me.
Lost isn't a fairy tale, neither is Star Wars.
I know.
But no, what was interesting to me is that, and one of the first things I noticed too was the sky was very red.
Right.
So, I mean, it wasn't like... on fire red, because on fire red is typically more orangey yellow. This was like blood red.
Well, it looked like there was a fire to me somewhere.
See, and it didn't look like a fire to me at all.
Okay.
It looked very ethereal.
I only got one look at it.
Very supernatural. So. Oh, I saw it like 3 or 4 times.
Well, I mean, okay.
I was paying attention
to the sky.
You were writing notes, yeah.
Okay, so Archie Hopper saying, vote your conscience. That was pretty funny.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. I did catch that, too.
And Emma and Mary Margaret, when they have bad days, they go to drink at Granny's. They both end up there just drinking at Granny's.
Yes, yes. Well, and actually, Emma ended up drinking at home.
True.
When Mary, and she was blasting like just raucous music, and right. then
I don't know what the song was either.
Yeah, I don't know.
So,
and then Mary Margaret comes in and is like, "Okay, turn it off."
So once Rumpelstiltskin received the power from this dagger,
yeah,
he didn't limp anymore.
No, he didn't. That's what I'm saying. He had that.
Right.
Wow.
Right. Okay.
Wow. I'm sorry. Okay. You know what? I had the same reaction when I saw the mummy regenerate in the mummy.
Okay. Let's come back. Come back. Bring it back. Okay. So then Rumpelstiltskin with this new power purged the army, killed everybody. And
well, he killed the ones who were there. We're assuming he did the rest of it, you know, got the rest of them. But we know for sure.
Like an inner circle of the evil army people.
Well, I don't know if it was inner circle. What it seemed like to me was the scouts for fresh meat.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what it seemed like to me.
I thought that Rumpelstiltskin's son was going to run.
Yeah, I kind of did too.
And then we were going to find out that maybe he was somebody that we would learn who it was later. So
we may still.
That's kind of what I kept thinking.
We don't know. We don't know.
But for sure, his son was afraid of the power that he had.
I think because his son was very he was very honorable. He was saying, it's the law. If it's the law, I'll go fight. No problem. And that, so for him, you know, cheating that was not an option. That's just not who he was. And that's why I think Rumpelstiltskin recognized in Emma the same qualities. Mm-hmm. That's why I think he likes her a lot. I think she reminds him of his son.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Mm-hmm. When Mr. Gold went into Sheriff Swan's office,
mm-hmm. now, mm-hmm.
he was wearing a purple shirt and a purple tie.
Hmm.
And I think that that's kind of alluding to the fact that he is kingly and in charge, or mm-hmm. at least reflecting that through the color of what he chose.
Right.
His colors, I think, are very important to what's going on.
So. They are. I mean, let's face facts. I mean, even I'm staring at your Star Wars poster.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Luke and Leia both in white, all white. And then you've got Han Solo that's got some white, but he's definitely wearing black too. So he's got a, you know, checkered past. And I think you're right. I think colors do make a huge difference and an impact.
I also wanted to bring up the fact of when Emma went into the fire, it mm-hmm. reminded me of there was a Bible story about the Hebrew children in the fire. And there was a third person that stepped into the fire. And
are you talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego?
That's it. Sorry. Yeah.
It's not the children of...
Well, the three Hebrew children. Yeah, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
They went in the fire because they got thrown in the fire because they wouldn't worship the...
Right.
The idol.
But anyway, that's
the king.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what came to me when she just walked into the fire and I said, that's the Savior.
Yeah.
Just, you cannot be consumed by the fire. No fear. She had to go in there.
Yeah. And she went in and tried to find some, you know, means of either escape or whatever. And then I think that's when I thought I heard the glass breaking, and that's when she pulled the fire extinguisher out. And I love the fact that Regina played it off like, don't leave me. And you know, she was scared half out of her wits.
But I was interested in the fact that she wasn't afraid.
No.
She just walked in there and took care of business. So,
and that's another reason why I think Rumpelstiltskin or Mr. Gold really likes her, because let's face it, he knows who he is.
Right.
There's no question. He knows exactly who he is. So the fact is
who she is. Yeah.
And I think he knows who she is. Mm-hmm. And I think he likes her for a lot of reasons. She reminds him of his son. She's not afraid of anything. And that was the thing he said when he came back, and he said, you know, what's wrong? And the, you know, son said, I'm scared. And he goes, I'm not afraid of anything, you know? And I think he really, that, you know, that attracts him about her.
Okay.
You know what else I noticed? I just totally came back to me was when he went to her house, when Mr. Gold went to Mary Margaret's apartment and knocked on the door again. And he opened the door and he goes, can I have a word with you? And Mary Margaret goes, I'll let you guys talk.
Yeah.
She leaves again.
She always leaves. It's always this
Poor thing. She's always kind of like having to go out of the room, and it's her own house. I think it's funny.
Well, and what I want to kind of put on the table is, what is their relationship?
Who's her, Mary Margaret's and Mr. Gold?
Right. Because it's almost like she is a bit afraid of him.
I don't think she is, though. She doesn't come across as being afraid. Okay, so Snow White wasn't afraid of him.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
She pleaded with him for help.
But every time he comes to the door, she's like, oh, gotta go, or I gotta take a bath, or I'm gonna...
But I don't think it's fear, though.
Okay.
What I think is, out of respect, she knows that it's none of her business, and Emma can take care of herself.
That's
just my opinion.
We don't know.
We don't know. There could be something.
Yeah.
But the impression I get, personally, my own personal impression, she's not afraid of him. She's just being respectful and saying, it's none of my business, and she knows that Emma will talk to her about whatever it is anyway.
Okay. So, you knew this was coming. I think Ruby's the snappiest dresser there. I mean, really.
Ruby is very stylish, I will say.
Snappy snap. I mean, really.
Snappy's not really what I'd use for a girl, though.
Okay. Well, whatever you would use, that's what... Stylish.
Yeah.
Hip, cool. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
She's very stylish. She's very fashionable. She's very mode.
Yeah. All right. What you said. That's what I'm saying. Okay, so we still...
She probably shops at Modern Fashions.
Probably. Down there on the... I think it's the same name. You disagree with me, but I remember somebody saying it was the same name that's in the town.
I don't think it is, but anyway.
Okay, so we still have this outstanding favor deal.
Oh, yeah.
Between Emma and Mr. Gold that's still kind of floating out in the air because he mentioned, he goes, one day, now that you're
sheriff, we'll have to find a way favor, for you to pay me back.
Yep.
So, interesting.
So, okay. This was a bumpy episode. We read a lot of stuff. And
yeah.
This thing here is just first thoughts. Not the perfect thoughts. We're never going to be perfect.
No.
But it's just, these are just kind of rattling off all these things. So that hopefully when you listen to it, you go, maybe one of those things you go, ah, you're right. Let me go check that out or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, because, you know, we'd kind of like to have some, you know, feedback.
Well, I think we'll get feedback. Yeah, definitely. Oh, yes.
You know. I'm pretty sure we're going to get feedback. Yeah. I'm pretty sure we've already gotten feedback.
Yeah. So anyway, this is, like I said, first thoughts, just jotting some things down, pointing some things out. Did you have anything else?
No, just I really wanted to say, I mean, look, I thought that Still Small Voice was a ridiculously good episode.
Mm-hmm.
Love that episode.
Yep.
I thought Heart is a Lonely Hunter was a ridiculously good episode. It was so thrilling. And it seems like they're getting better and better and better. And the previews for next week.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Okay. So
I love the show more and more every day.
So we have kind of sort of apologized about this episode here. It's just, it's bumpy. It's kind of all over the place. I'm reading off notes. We're talking about things. But mm-hmm. This is the first thoughts. This is kind of what I envisioned it. It's just not polished.
Mm-mm.
But that's what really the regular episode. Because when you guys call in and leave your audio feedback, you just kind of kick the ball back in play and you go, no, it's this or it's that or it's something else. So that's what really this show's about is we work together.
Mm-hmm.
We have our initial thought and then you kind of say, well, that's true, that's not, you know, whatever. So that's what this is about. This always has been this show's about. So anyway, please call in your feedback and let us know what you think. Emails, voicemails. But the regular episode we record on Thursday night, that's when we play the voicemails. Then if we do have emails, which we always have, then we do a feedback and more episode.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway,
thought we would check this out and try it out. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
Right. And then we'll go back to the regular episode that we record on Thursday and do feedback and more.
It's not that we're going back to it. We'll just leave it at the regular episode.
Right.
Anyway.
So let me end here and say that we have two interviews coming up that are just fantastic. We recorded them this morning and I'll be putting them out. And I don't know when, but maybe one this week, maybe one next week, because I kind of don't want to get too much.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, that's the first thoughts episode mm-hmm. for Desperate Souls. And thanks for listening. And we will talk at you soon.
Sounds good.
See you.
Bye.
Bye.